Welcome back. Today we are talking to Clint Luna and Chad Chambers of MVP. They are an outsourcing supplier out in Clark Pumpunga. We get the lowdown on the current situation with the COVID, how they are coping, and we explore the current situation of outsourcing and the opportunities of outsourcing, both in times of coronavirus and hopefully as we get back to the new normal. If you want any of the show notes for this episode, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, it's a little experiment. We are joined by two people from the same organization, which is MVP Asia Pacific, a BPO based out in Clark, Pumpunga. Today, I'm joined by Clint Luna. He is the CEO and founder, and Chad Chambers, the general manager of the Philippine location. Hi, Clint. How are you? And hi, Chad.
Hey, Derek. How are you?
Hey, Derek.
So that's Clint with the Australian accent, and that is Chad with the American accent. I hope that'll help people orientate. Clint and Chad, I suppose, you know, we can't start any conversation about anything, in fact, without first discussing coronavirus and the implications on your business, but also businesses generally. It is now the 14th of May. We're still very much in the thick of the coronavirus. Can we first get an update? You run a BPO, an outsourcing supplier, and largely the health of any BPO is really dependent on the health of the economies and commerce in general. How is MVP faring, and how have you gone over the last sort of month to 6 weeks of this?
I think Derek, when COVID first broke and when everyone realised how serious it was, we definitely had clients and businesses, evaluating all their expenditure, and that included their current offshore staff. So we did have a little bit of a downturn, and people we were talking to about bringing on offshore staff, sort of held off a little bit. But what we found is that, once people got a little bit more comfortable with the situation, those conversations reversed again, and they were evaluating, how can they save money, and were looking at how a BPO could help in as part of their overall cost saving initiatives.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge saving grace of the outsourcing industry, isn't it? And why it is counter-cyclical, because ultimately, it's a fantastic way for people to save money, but also access, resources that are dearly needed while people are trying to rebuild and maintain their business. I think often it's very easy for people to just sort of cut things quickly. But I think the strength of outsourcing will shine through, because it's such a valuable resource for businesses, especially in sort of recessionary and downward cycles. Yeah, but you're affected by the health of your clients. A lot of your clients are in Australia, are they? And I tend to get the impression that Australia really hasn't been affected so badly with the coronavirus.
Yeah, well, most of our clients are in Australia and New Zealand, and they're both countries that haven't been as affected. We have clients in Hong Kong, which also, they got on top of things fairly quickly. And we do have some clients in the US, they've been in the main, less affected than some other markets.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think a lot of our clients have been very adaptive. Very receptive to a lot of the changes that we've had to make during this, global situation. I think that's something that is attributed to, I think, a lot of our success over the last couple of months is that, we have had those clients that have realized that we do have to have roles that sit at home now and work remotely. So that's been a good thing. And I think a blessing for us too, just because we are more of a little bit of a generalist BPO and an outsourcing model, so that we do have those roles that aren't really stringent and tied to, they have to be within a physical office. So I think that's kind of been one of the advantages for us during this time.
Yeah. And Chad, what has been the initial scramble when, the country was put on lockdown, people you know, there was an exemption for the BPO and outsourcing industry, but in reality, most people then had to convert to working from home. Right. What was that initial scramble like for you and MVP?
Right. Well, yeah, just me being on the ground here, it was definitely an interesting few days. Obviously, I think the information over those first few days was, you know, it was a fluid situation, and sometimes, you know, we had to kind of pivot and make a decision at the last minute. But I think as soon as we got the information from the government officials that it looked like we were going to go into that strict quarantine type of environment, we were able to rapidly kind of mobilize people here and get a lot of their desks, you know, and PCs out.
I think we were lucky in that we'd already planned to do it. We were ahead of the curve and had a plan to move people to a work from home environment, just for their own safety. And it was actually on the day that I announced that we were moving to a work from home arrangement in a nice orderly fashion that they announced we're bringing in a lockdown tomorrow. So, you know, we already had, you know, internet dongles and things set up and prepared.
Right.
And, you know, it's so difficult to paint a picture of the outsourcing industry because, again, it's really just a reflection or an aggregation or a microcosm of the broader economy. And I suppose, you know, your BPO would be doing great if you're in certain sectors, and doing very badly if your BPO specialized in the travel sector, for example. And I imagine a lot of clients would cut their costs and their staffing if the staffing roles were focusing on marketing or non-essential functions. But I think that's a testament to the new generation of outsourcing, which is more about core functions and high skilled functions as opposed to just sort of auxiliary staff or call center staff that can be sort of burnt and dumped. Yeah,
absolutely. I think, you know, I would say the majority of our staff are the vast majority are tertiary qualified. I would say 90-95%, and they're in roles. I think the most common role we have is actually engineers. So we have a lot of engineers, close to 100, working for Australian, New Zealand telco infrastructure companies. So they're designing networks. So these are high-end, high-value tasks that can be done more cost-effectively in the Philippines.
Right. So take us back a little bit, if you can introduce MVP and how did it come about? It does have its origin within engineering.
Yeah, correct. So I am involved in a company called UCG. They're a telco infrastructure company in Australia and New Zealand. And I was running the Australian operation probably 3 or 4 years ago and tried offshoring. We'd won a new contract and needed to scale up quickly and thought, well, let's just try it out. And we started with 5 people in the Philippines and that quickly grew to, you know, 40 odd staff, and that was a sort of catalyst to look at this and it, as a business, and to it opened up our eyes to, okay, well, it's working great in engineering. What else could we do in the same model? And, you know, that it went into accounting and general admin and scheduling and you know, customer support and all sorts of other roles. So that's how MVP was born, and then quickly grew to over 300 staff over the last couple of years.
It's good that you jumped into the deep end with your own requirements. A lot of people sort of dilly-dally around with getting virtual assistants and, you know, the most rudimentary roles and think that that is the extent of outsourcing. You jumped in right at the deep end. You went for, you know, high complexity roles. What gave you the confidence about doing that? And then also, what were some of your takeaways, your learnings in sort of trying to master the high quality outsourcing roles?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, it was interesting because I was on the other side of the fence. I was on the client side, and within our organization, there was a lot of pushback. You know, is the quality going to be any good? You know, are they going to be able to do these higher end roles? And we just proved it. We started with simple tasks and just kept expanding the scope. And as long as you know you have a good standard operating procedure in place and you know QA system, and the guys, they just exceeded expectations. And so we just kept giving them more and more until they were doing the, you know, sort of the end-to-end role.
And in summary, how do you find the skill levels, competency levels of, you know, Filipino professionals versus Australia? Are there nuances and differences? Are there, you know, how would you sort of summarize getting the best out of a highly skilled Filipino workforce?
Chad, I think I'll let you answer a question.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So, and I think I have a really unique kind of view of this because I've been in the outsourcing world, I think, for the last 10 years now. I started off originally in working for an agency in Dubai, and I was managing a BPO outfit out of India in our Mumbai office there at the time. And then I've recently moved over to the Philippines about 3 or 4 years ago. And then kind of got more involved with more of the niche BPO. And then obviously now that I'm over here with MVP, kind of more of a broad spectrum there of skill sets that we provide. But, you know, it really comes down to, you know, I can compare because I've been in the American environment. I've been working with, you know, from India and the Philippines, obviously with Australia as well. And I think really trying to get in tune with, there's obviously cultural differences and that goes without saying with any kind of industry that you're working or culture that you're going to be working with. But I think really to get like the Philippines and that culture in tune with like your work environment, it really comes down to the processes and really entrenching remote workers into your team. And I think now that it goes without saying, a lot of people have gone through this project over the last couple of months themselves across the world, but it's really entrenching those people into your day-to-day workflows, having the processes, having the communications, and that's kind of the one side of it. The other side of it is also, I really believe, is really trying to bring the culture into your culture and your team cultures. Now, whether that's if you have weekly meetings, if you have town halls, if you have like beer Fridays, how can you get them involved into your onshore teams? I think that's a really critical thing that I think a lot of people miss out on.
I was talking about this with a client yesterday, actually. How do you treat them the same but different? You know, if you end up having a sort of worldwide team, everyone has little cultural nuances, you know, everyone has their own peculiarities. There's also different employment regulations and structures and holidays and also time zones. What are some sort of practical examples of kind of bringing people into the same world, yet recognizing the differences?
Right. Yeah, I think from you mentioned kind of the benefit side of it, the HR and the leaves and the holidays, et cetera. I think that's exactly why businesses like ours exist, is that, you know, we come in and provide that overhead and that management from that perspective. I think that's just something.
Yeah, and advice. You know, it depends on the client. Depends on the client culture. But what I've found is that you know, Filipinos as a rule, they just love to be included and be a part of it. So you know, whatever it is that you do onshore to do team building, you know, whether it's a pantry session on Zoom, like a kitchen water cooler type session where people just have a bit of a chat, whether it's, you know, involving them in some of your events, taking photos, you know, recognizing them in your newsletters and things like that, that makes a huge difference.
Right. And just even getting to know them personally, how their family, you know, what's their mom and their dad's name, their wife's name, their child's name. I mean, that, in other countries that may be kind of, you know, off the books, so to talk about, but it really goes a long way into here, and it has a good, you know, play into retaining people. It's just that kind of environment and culture here.
Yeah, I think it's easy, you know, when everything is done through computer interface, and especially if you're using project management tools, it's easy just to think about these people as almost a robot or a producer, and you've really got to get behind and get to know the people and you know, just as critically as anyone in your own hometown, but get them on board with the mission and the values and your organization, and then it sort of pays off in spades, doesn't it? I think the, you know, the Fiverr and Upwork really commoditize the people and sort of almost ignore the person and focus on the output. And I think when it's more proper professionalized staffing, you need to focus on the person in order to get the output.
I think that's a mistake to treat it like that. You know, my advice is always to just treat your employee like any other. And the businesses that have multi-sites do better at this. So, you know, in an Australian example, a business that has offices in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, they're already used to having employees not right in front of them, and they know how to, you know, come together as an organization across the different sites. And but, you know, some client businesses who've only ever worked out of one office, they struggle a little bit more with recognizing that it's just, you know, they're a staff member just like the person sitting next to you.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of businesses, they suggest that, you know, we're only in one site. We're not a big company and we don't want to split across two sites. But there's so many instances of small companies having to do that. You know, I mean, the corner shop cafe, if you get above one branch, you've got to suddenly develop systems where you, yep, you're aligning your staff in terms of processes and culture. And this is no different. It is a little bit more of an inconvenience. But once you get over that and build the processes around having a transferable culture and process, then again, the investment pays off.
I think a lot of businesses have found themselves having to develop this. I mean, one thing that COVID has done is forced a lot of businesses to work out how they work remotely. And, you know, I think they'll find, you know, coming out of this, you know, they've got the systems and in place, they're familiar with it, and that objection is going to go away.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the times are changing. I think the COVID has accelerated this path. And yeah, I want to explore that with you. Just before, you know, we go into the future and sort of the future that's possibly being catalyzed by coronavirus, where do you see your sweet spot as MVP? You know, it's fantastic that, you know, you're not just focusing, you're not a call center, you're not the sort of mass high-level production. But where do you see the sweet spot of MVP, and where do you see businesses being able to add value to their teams the most with a Philippine offshore team? This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the advantage of being a generalist. A lot of our clients, they start with one role. So, you know, there's always some interest when we're talking to them. You know, they're thinking about, they have a need. There's a need for some sort of offshoring. So they might be with an accountant, for example, an accounts payable or accounts receivable type person. And we'll find a CPA, so not just a bookkeeper, we'll find a high-end accountant. And they'll start with an accountant, and then, you know, we'll get to know their business and have a chat to them and say, okay, well, you're a engineering business. You've got an accountant. You've got a mechanical engineering team. Did you know that we can find, really great mechanical engineers in the Philippines? Oh, no. And then they build out a team from there, and then their marketing arm might want a graphic designer. And then what happens is they end up with a core team, and they can maintain that company culture within MVP's office because all their staff are together and working for the same client.
There is a lot of value in that, isn't there? I still do preach that, you know, we're effectively, it's balancing the benefits of remote, but still having people turn up in the morning so that there's discipline and they still have the water cooler moments and they're still there working together so that there's organizational kind of momentum. I suppose, Chad, do you see a lot of advantage to having people still congregate in the office, still having teams, you know, kind of collect as teams? Or do you think all of that is over now with everyone having a taste of the remote life?
Right. I definitely think it's going to change. I think that paradigm shift is we're in that now. So I definitely think that people are more, especially from a management perspective and working with different companies, they're definitely more attuned to work in that environment. However, I think there's obviously never a replacement to be able to look someone in the eye and have a conversation or to have that water cooler moment. I mean, that's always beneficial, but I think, you know, companies and industries, they're going to have to determine different ways of doing that now. It's just, I mean, some companies are not going to go into that physical office environment anymore. They may kind of tailor themselves more towards that remote environment, but they're going to have to figure out ways to, you know, to meet as teams periodically. I just believe that, you know, that's the biggest culture builder that you can have there is the one-on-ones and the water cooler moments. I think that's just something that's, I think it's always going to be important. I think, but the way when we come out of this, how that's going to be implemented across different industries and companies, it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out.
I think it's going to be a bit of a hybrid, to be honest. My opinion is you'll still have staff who will work from home a few days a week or a couple of days a week, and then come into the office because, you know, we've got a great office, 2,600 square meters, really open plan, but we've got lots of meeting rooms and training rooms. And I think that's, you know, where our clients would get a lot of value, having their staff come together, train as a team. And then, you know, they may work from home 1 or 2 days a week going forward, but they're still able to come in and maintain that cohesiveness.
The Facebook and Google have announced that their staff can work from home until the end of the year. And then Jack Dorsey of Twitter came out and said his staff can work from home forever. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, you know, outsourcing has for a long, long time been a large part about the facilities, and it's really gone hand in hand with the, as a package deal. Do you think that the move to remote work strengthens outsourcing because people are like, well, hey, you know, we can hire globally now? Or do you think that it weakens the sort of BPO model where a lot of it is sort of a package price with the desk and facilities?
I think that's a good question. And I think there's arguments both ways. You know, in terms of the facility, there's a reason why they exist, and that's because we have the infrastructure. So the speed of the internet and the reliability of the power is really important. And, you know, we've got triple redundant fiber links, backup power generators, things like that. Probably more important in a country like the Philippines or other offshoring destinations, India, than sort of onshore environments. Onshore, you know, the quality of the internet is generally pretty good. And power is quite stable. So I think there's more of an argument onshore for people working from home than there would be, say, still in the offshoring environments.
And there's going to be some winners and some losers from coronavirus. I dare say more losers than winners. And, you know, we yet to see whether this is a V-shaped or a U-shaped recovery or a L or an M. Where would you say there are some outsourcing models that will benefit from this? And, you know, if businesses are looking to recover, how can they benefit? Where should they be sort of putting their focus?
Right, I think just one industry that really intrigues me right now and something that we've seen over the last 12 months really starting to pick up steam, especially in the US and in parts of Australia, is the telehealth. I think telehealth industry is something that obviously coming on the backside of when we get out of this, you know, global situation, I think that's an industry that's really going to pop because they're obviously, they work remotely, but they can see the value of remote teams, whether it's a nursing assistant or appointment setters or lead generation. I think that's just an industry from my perspective that I'm kind of excited about when it comes to the outsourcing model and how they can play into that and leverage that.
Absolutely. There's a lot of nurses in the Philippines that are, you know, really quite cost effective, and they're ideal for doing things like transcriptions of, you know, doctor's notes, transcriptions and things like that, because they understand the lingo.
They say the healthcare information management sector is the fastest growing in Philippine outsourcing at the moment. I think it's always held back because it's so heavily regulated. And I think for any business to get off the ground in the healthcare sector, it's you know, kind of always, a victim of the local regulation, which is a good thing. But
we've seen those regulations get relaxed. Like for example, in Australia, they telehealth was not legal or available. And then what we found through COVID is they relaxed that. And so now you can have a point with your doctor and get prescribed medicines without seeing them in person. So, and still be covered by the government benefits. So, you know, things will evolve and change. But, you know, more broadly, as you mentioned before, Derek, you know, offshoring is a counter-cyclical industry, and no doubt people will be looking for how to do more with less. And that's where, you know, companies like ourselves can help.
You get a bird's eye view of your clients and their activities, and you know, obviously there's been a slowdown, but are you seeing a lot of evolution, a lot of pivoting, a lot of adapting to the new normal?
Yeah, absolutely. So the businesses that were the clients that were thinking about this earlier are bouncing back quicker. So you know, doing the risk analysis, thinking of their processes and systems, and how they do work, and making it COVID safe. The people who were on the front foot, they're the ones bouncing back.
Yeah, just as a small example of that, we have a client that's in the accounting industry in Australia, and you know, they have a lot of physical offices that they needed to set up in different remote retail locations, and they've had to pivot over the last few months and go a lot more online. So they're looking more into like web development and the back end from that side. So we can see that there are some industries that are really having to pivot away from maybe a physical environment via retail more towards online.
Yeah, incredible. It's so many doors are closing, but at the same time, I think so many doors are opening, right, for those people that are opportunist and looking for them. And so, you know, there's some, you obviously deal with very complex, very high level roles and skills and professions. Where is the MVP involvement in this? Are you sort of staff leasing and let the clients get on with it? Or can you get involved with the client's business and help build the processes, help advise in terms of the operations?
Yeah. So, you know, what we do is, you know, we sit down and ask what their requirements are, and sometimes, you know, that's not clear, so we can help tease that out and translate what their requirements are into a sort of an equivalent type resource in the Philippines. We'll go to market, we'll find some candidates, and then we ask our clients to interview them and you know, make sure they're getting the person they want, and they have the full buy-in, and they're happy with who they choose. Rather than just supplying a body. And then, you know, on a day-to-day basis, we allow our clients to work with their staff member like as an extension of their own team. So we don't like to get involved in between in terms of the day-to-day, but we're always there to give advice, to help and assist with processes and systems, and to help look at other parts of their business where they might benefit.
And how do you charge for that? There's a lot of different business monetization models bouncing around outsourcing. Where are you in that mix?
Well, we have such a wide variety of roles, so it's hard to come up with a cookie cutter price. So what we do is generally just have whatever the salary of the staff member is, plus our seat fee or our management fee. The roles vary, the seat fee stays the same.
And Chad, we're now going into tomorrow, which is the 15th, was going to be the end of the lockdown for Manila, 15th of May. Now it's turned into a modified enhanced quarantine, and it's still as yet unclear what that really entails. How are you adapting in the day-to-day, in the operations, and you know, how much of a toll does it take when there's the uncertainty in the sort of day-to-day activities?
Right, yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And so I think there's something obviously a lot of companies are having to face and try to answer those questions right now is how are they doing day to day? I think from our perspective, day to day, we've been looking really good. I think we work with a lot of really good people. They've been very adaptable to, you know, the situation that we've been placed on as far as this quarantine here in the Philippines for the last few months. And obviously there's some few challenges here and there. Maybe, you know, there's a power outage for 1 hour here or there. But again, the adaptability that we have as a company that we've displayed, I've been really impressed with it. But also I think it goes back to that, what we've done day to day as far from a communications perspective. I mean, we jump on sometimes daily calls, weekly calls, you know, staff dates, and seeing how people are doing. Is there any way we need to pivot here or there? I think that's really helped us out a lot. And then this, you know, you kind of mentioned the quarantine that we've been under, and we've, as far as us coming out of this, how is that going to affect us? I think we've really planned ahead of this, and what we've done on our side is one of the biggest values that we've been focusing on during this transition period coming out of this quarantine is to really focus on employee safety. We're definitely not going to cut any corners. We're going to make sure that we take this thing slow. And I know you just mentioned the enhanced community quarantine, and that means that, you know, hypothetically we could have 50% of our workforce back in our office. I think we're going to take a little bit more of a staggered approach to that because we've got a lot of feedback from our employees where they're, you know, they're a little bit nervous about coming back into the office, or maybe they have an elderly parent at home. And so we're taking that on board, and we're really listening to our employees, which is, you know, just a suggestion I think every company should do at this point in time, is really get the pulse of what people are feeling. So we're taking that, and we're going to apply that back into our staggered approach as we start to roll our resources back into the office.
Are there any, you know, I'm really trying to promote outsourcing as you know, potentially one of the saviors of business when you need to slash costs, when you need to rebuild your business, when you need resources to adapt to the new normal, then of course outsourcing is here. It's remote enabled. It's ready to go. And of course, you know, it is at significant discount for local salaries. If people are interested, I really recommend they reach out, they explore it and see if it's right for their business. What is the typical journey if people contact you? You know, they're completely new to this thing. They've just heard of people trying it. What is the journey for them with you typically?
Yeah, typically they reach out and, you know, we'll have a exploratory call to understand their business, to make sure, you know, do a little bit of pre-qualification to make sure they're ready, and then if they're not, to sort of explain, you know, sort of where they need to be. Most businesses these days are, and then yeah, understand their business, understand where we could help, and then provide some suggestions of roles that could benefit. Then generally we go to market, find some candidates, and that's really when it coalesces. So we've got some candidates, they go, yes, this person's great. And then we get them on board and help them through that process.
We have a lot of case studies too, that we could share with, you know, clients that are new to this industry and this world. And that really, I think, helps a lot of candidates along too. They just want to see the proof case around that. So we have some cases that we normally share with them to help them that transition along as well.
And how are you seeing the job market at the moment? I assume it's a bit more of an employer's market. There's a lot of candidates out there looking for placements now?
Absolutely. It's shifted, you know, quite markedly in the last month or so. So I think, you know, I would have said probably 3 or 4 months ago, the job market was getting pretty hot and it was getting harder to find, you know, that top quality candidate, or the salary expectations might have been higher, whereas, you know, obviously the job market has been affected worldwide, including in the Philippines. So, you know, we're finding a lot more high quality candidates available now.
And you have a lot of engineers and telecoms engineers, and you know, is there any role that you suggest is there's great value and really good to do, like coding or, you know, data analysts? And are there roles that you think people maybe should steer away from or aren't as strong in the Philippine market?
I think the you know, the only role where we've struggled to find you know, someone excellent would be, you know, sort of content writing. I think the whilst the English is good and correct, it's just a little bit more formal than you would write in you know, Australia or the US, and it shows. I think for most other roles, no problems at all. We've found, yeah, top quality.
Again, you know, I'm really encouraging people to explore outsourcing, you know, especially in times of crisis, especially in times of needing to make cuts and evolve. If they want to get in touch with you and have a conversation, how can they do that?
They can just reach out to us via email, info@findyourmvp.com, and we'll be in touch.
That was Clint Luna and Chad Chambers of MVP. If you want to get in touch with either of those two or know any more about MVP, go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. And as always, if you want to get in touch, send us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.